Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, welcome or welcome back to Hurricane Community Church's online campus. We're so glad you're here. Whether it's your first time or multiple times, we hope that this isn't your last time. If you've been around over the last few months, I may be a little bit of a new face to you if this is one of your first times. If you're a longtime attender of Hurricane Community Church, I'm a familiar face, kind of blast from the past kind of thing, because over the last few months, I've had the privilege of being on a renewal leave. And so I could spend this entire time with you talking about my experiences and what we did as a family and what I did individually and some of the awarenesses and things like that that I gained through the time. But rather than to bore you with all those details, I just simply want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me that time to get away and to kind of re-gear my mind and my heart in relationship with God and even in relationship with my family. And I want to say thank you to each and every person who stepped in to take ministry responsibility and executed those so effectively and so well during my time away. So I'm sure that you'll be hearing a little bit more about some of that over time. But for this morning, I want to jump right into the Life App series with a question. How many people would you say have one of these? If you're watching online, then go ahead and just type right in the chat box, how many people in the world do you think own a smartphone? We'll give you just a second to kind of start typing that in. And then as you do, I will tell you that there are over 3.5 million smartphone users in the world. And one of the favorite things to utilize on our smartphones is something that's called a mobile app. Mobile apps were originally designed to help with productivity, but because of user demand, they rapidly developed beyond that. And so now we use them for things like social media. We use them for games. We use them for countless other things. And it's probably not an understatement to say that we love our apps. So 2020 isn't yet complete, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective. But in 2019, there were over 2.14 billion apps downloaded onto smartphones. If you're an Apple user, there are over 2 million apps available for you in the App Store, in the Apple App Store. If you're a Google user, there are over 2.5 million apps available for you in the Google Store. The number of apps and the usages that we have for them has grown at an incredible rate and an incredible pace. And again, I don't think it would be an understatement to say that we love our apps. The term app is short for application. And in life, it's all about application. If life is all about application, if life is all about what we do, then there might be some wisdom in identifying some applications that would help make us better at life and make life better. So in this series, we're going to identify 5 different apps, life apps, that when we implement them, when we do them, when we apply them, we are better at life, and life is better for us and for those around us. About a couple of weeks ago, maybe, I went over to our neighbor's house, and I notified their kids that their bedtime was now 9:30. Now, that's absurd, isn't it? It's absurd that I would go over to our neighbor's house and implement a bedtime rule for kids who aren't mine or don't live in my home or aren't even in my home. It's not my place or my role to establish a bedtime rule for my neighbor's kids. Well, in a similar way, somewhere over time, well-meaning churchgoers started embracing the idea that it was their role and their responsibility to establish rules for people who were not yet followers of Jesus. And somewhere along the way, followers of Jesus even begin to judge people who weren't followers of Jesus based on the expectations. In other words, followers of Jesus began to expect people who weren't followers of Jesus to act like followers of Jesus, even though they weren't. My guess is that most of us know at least someone who has been pushed away from the church, or maybe even relationship with God, because somewhere along the way, they were judged by followers of Jesus to a standard that they had not yet accepted or embraced. Or, at the very least, they felt judged. Now, one of the reasons this is so applicable is because Jesus and the early church leader Paul both made it crystal clear that followers of Jesus are not to judge people who aren't followers of Jesus. And we aren't to hold them to a standard that they have not yet embraced. And we are not to expect them to behave or live or act or think like followers of Jesus until they are followers of Jesus. So the apps that we're going to look in this series aren't necessarily required for everyone. If you're a follower of Jesus, they're required for you. These are things that Jesus and God tell us to do. If you're not a follower of Jesus, they're not required. But here's something that I think you'll find challenging and maybe even a little bit encouraging. The apps that you choose to implement in your life will make a difference because application makes all the difference. What we do matters. Now, don't misunderstand, because what we believe matters, because what we believe influences and impacts what we do. But at the end of the day, we can believe all we want, but until we implement what we believe, we will always discover that something is missing and we come up short in what we desire for our lives and really what God desires for our lives, whether we realize that or not. Jesus' brother James speaks into this very clearly in a letter that he wrote to first century Christians. And it's interesting because James, who was Jesus' brother, didn't believe in Jesus' claim to be the Son of God until after Jesus' resurrection. In fact, before Jesus' resurrection, James thought his brother was crazy. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because after all, what would it take for your brother to convince you that he was the Son of God? Well, James eventually becomes a follower of Jesus and becomes a leader, a key leader in the early church. And he writes this letter in which we discover about application making all the difference. And here's what he says. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Now, this seems like James has it a little bit backwards, that he thought Jesus was crazy, but now what he writes sounds crazy. It seems crazy that listening to what God desires and what God wants for us in life would lead us to deceive ourselves. But the answer here is found in the word merely, which literally is translated as only. So what James is saying is, don't only listen to the word. Don't only listen to what God has to say. There's something more than just listening. It's like when we tell our kids something that they should do. And as parents, we have the right to tell them what they should do. But when we tell them something, it seems like our kids think that they should get credit for listening. They actually only get partial credit for listening, but they think they should get full credit for listening. Whether they do what we asked or told them to do doesn't matter. They just think they should get credit for listening. And sometimes they're not really even listening. You know, like when as a parent you get three words out of your mouth and they're already turned around walking away. And sometimes for us, in relationship to what God desires, we want credit for just listening. We want full credit for just listening. Even though sometimes we've already turned and started walking away and stopped listening. James says that do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So we deceive ourselves when we believe or think that listening is enough. We deceive ourselves when we think that we can hear but not ever have to do or do anything differently. And this is exactly what James says. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You see, until we do what it says, we don't really have to change anything. We don't really have to make any adjustments in our decisions. And sometimes we might even feel bad for not doing what we should do or for doing what we shouldn't do. But sometimes for us, it's easier to feel bad than to do anything different. James says, don't merely listen to the word. Don't only listen. Do what it says. And then he gives us some additional insight. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. Now, the mirrors that we have today are quite a bit different than the mirrors they had in the time that James wrote. The mirrors that we have today give us a pretty clear reflection of what's being seen in the mirror. So sometimes the reflection we see in the mirror isn't as comfortable as we'd like for it to be. In fact, there are times where we look in the mirror and we say, wow, is my hair really that gray or thin or gone? Is that my belly? How many chins can I count on the person in the mirror? Surely that isn't me. The mirror that we have today gives us a pretty accurate reflection of what's being seen in the mirror. The mirror in the day that James wrote was usually made out of some kind of a metal. And so the image would be a little bit blurry, a little bit more difficult to make out. Or sometimes they would look into a bucket of water and see their reflection in a bucket of water or maybe some other kind of body of water. But you would get some image of what was being seen. And James says that looking in a mirror in relationship to what God desires does more than give us a reflection of what we see. It's a reflection of the condition of our hearts in relationship with God, which influences the decisions that determine the direction and the quality of our lives. Now, let's think about it this way. When you go to start getting ready to go somewhere and you go stand in front of the mirror, when do you leave the mirror? You leave the mirror when you're comfortable that what you see in the mirror is a true and accurate reflection of what you want to be seen in the mirror. And James says that looking in the mirror is only a part of what's reflected. Listen to what he says. And after looking at himself in the mirror, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. James says that we see this reflection, and then we go away and we immediately forget the image that we saw in the mirror that we wanted to be an accurate and true reflection of our hearts in relationship with God. In other words, people who hear the word and don't do what it says, people who hear what God desires and don't do what they hear, is like creating an image in a mirror and then walking away and not reflecting the image that you worked so hard to create in the mirror. Application makes all the difference. It is not enough to just hear. It is not enough to just create an image in the mirror that we want to see of ourselves and then walk away and live completely different than that image, because that image doesn't reflect what God desires for us and what God desires for us to do. And then James gives us the alternative to this lack of application. He says, but whoever looks intently, I have a teenage son and a teenage daughter. So we get to witness this look intently thing sometimes because we have mirrors in our home. And so we get to see this look intently as to whether the clothes look like I want them to look, or whether the hair looks like I want it to look, or whether this little red blemish is going to turn into a pimple, or any number of other things. We get to see this look intently thing happen. And James says that what we look intently into matters. What we look intently into makes a difference. And by the way, my kids really aren't that bad about the look intently into the mirror thing. You know, maybe every once in a while, but they don't obsess over it or anything like that. So I don't want to unnecessarily throw them under the bus for something they don't really do. But whoever looks intently, and then James says, into the perfect law that gives freedom. When we think of the law, we don't typically think of it in terms of freedom. Instead, we tend to think of the law in terms of restrictions. How many of us, when we were growing up, and our parents established some parameters or some rules or some boundaries, how many of us really thought about those rules in terms of freedom? When we asked if we could do something and our parents told us no, that the rule in our home was we did this instead of this, how many of us really thought about that leading to freedom over our parents just basically trying to suck all the fun out of our lives? When we tell our kids, when we establish parameters and boundaries and rules for our kids. We do so not because we want to suck all the fun out of life, but because we want them to know some things that will help them become the best version of them that they can be. When we teach our kids about managing money God's way, it's because we want them to experience and live in the future a life of financial freedom. When we ask them, or require, I guess would be a better word, to give and save a certain percentage of any income that they earn, it's because we want them to understand that generosity breaks the hold that money and stuff have on the human heart. And we've noticed that they think it's pretty cool to see their savings balance grow, even to the point that they've started setting saving goals and say, can I sacrifice over here so that I can save more and see that dollar amount change? And so we hope that something's happening in their hearts in relationship to the parameters that we establish. When we talk with them about relationships and how to navigate relationships, and about staying within the parameters that God established, it's because we want them to carry into future relationships fewer regrets than they would have if they chose to step outside of God's parameters. Though they would prefer probably to do some things differently, what we hope they understand at some point is that the parameters and boundaries and rules that we have established are not to suck the fun out of their life, but to put them in the position to experience freedom, to live life the way that God intends, and to live life in a better, more effective way than they would if they step outside those parameters. So James says, but those who look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. The word continues there means to look intently over and over and over, to not stop looking intently into what God desires. And then James says, and not forgetting what they heard. In the first century, there was not as much written communication as we have in our culture today. And so a lot of what God desired, a lot of the teachings of Jesus, a lot of those types of things were handed down verbally. And oftentimes they would gather groups of people together and they would read the letters. They would read the teachings. They would read the historical record. And so people would hear what that perfect law was, what God desired. And so that's what the reference there is to have heard. And he says, but doing it. Because application makes all the difference. And what's the result of someone who continually looks intently into the law and doesn't forget what they've heard and does it, that doesn't just merely listen to what God says, but applies what God says to the decisions that determine the direction and quality of life? James says, they will be blessed in what they do. My guess is that every person connecting with this online campus right now would like to describe their life as blessed. And James says that there is a way for that to happen. To not only listen, but to put into practice, to put into application what God desires. And that is the way that you and I and those around us will become blessed in what we do. So, What is it that you need? What area of life do you need to look intently into to discover what God desires for you? What is something that you need to start doing that you're not doing? What is maybe something you need to stop doing that you are doing because it doesn't align with what God desires? You see, as long as we are just listeners and not appliers, then we will always discover that something's missing and we come up short. So what do you need to apply in your life from what God desires for you? Let me pray for you. Today served as a big introduction to this series. And so I hope you'll connect with us again next week for part two of the Life App series. Dear God, thank you for this time to connect together. Thank you for technology that allows us to engage and connect in different ways. Thank you for this letter written by James, the brother of Jesus, that simply says, do not just listen, but do, because application makes all the difference. For each and every person connected today, may we identify what it is that we need to look intently into and what we need to do differently as a result of discovering what you desire. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.